it's like, okay, how many seasons have already occurred? Because I'm not going to start a new show if one, like you're right, because it'll be canceled right away if I like it. Or if it's not good, like I don't want to waste time watching something if I know it sucks.
Or like Grey's Anatomy, to when they tell you if you're going to watch it, you gotta, you just got to get through seasons 3 through 12. Once you get to 13, it's awesome.
It's good. Yeah.
But you just, but you got to watch it because there's some bits in there. Welcome to A Cast With No Name. We are your hosts. I'm Jay.
I'm Matt.
I'm Coop.
This is episode 92. This episode, we get beaten to death by Harry the Hatchet's dildo as we discuss Guy Ritchie's 1998 debut feature film, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. But first, don't forget to visit our website, acastwithnoname.com, where you can listen to our entire episode library, comment on episodes, write to our email. Plus, as always, you can find us on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. And as always, thank you for listening. And if you enjoyed the show, rate us, leave us a like, do whatever. Helps the show find new listeners. Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When's the last time you seen this movie?
I think I've only seen this movie, I think, once.
Same.
Really?
Probably college.
I think I've seen it one time.
Oh, yeah. I thought this would be like a Boondock Saints of our generation. This is like in the rotation.
It's not that bad.
No.
Well, it's not that bad.
I only saw it once because it was after I saw Snatch.
I saw Snatch first. Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you should watch Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
It's so different.
Yeah. Well, it's like, actually, it was sold to me. It's like, oh, if you like Snatch, you'll like this one. And I was like, all right. And I watched this one. I was like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Compared to Snatch.
Yeah. I thought it was a step down. Of course, it was his debut. Yeah. So it's like, you know.
It was the first one. Yeah. I feel like Snatch was like the exact same idea, but just done incredibly better.
More refined. Yeah.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Would you compare it to like Clerks 2 versus Clerks? Oh. Where it's more refined.
Yeah, I think that's a good comparison.
When I was watching, I'm like, this reminds me a lot of like Clerks. Just the style and the
it's a lot
the
rougher.
Fact that a lot of the actors, this is like their first gig, or they just weren't trained actors. You know, they just pulled their buddies from the street and like, hey, you want to be in my movie? Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
It is the too smart dialogue, and like just the dialogue was really, it felt very Kevin Smith, Quentin Tarantino-ish.
Absolutely.
And one of that cool cinema that everyone was trying to do in the 90s. The cool cinema.
You're just cool guys.
Yeah. Just
quippy.
Just a couple of fellas.
Yeah.
Wanging out.
Their British street slang.
Yeah. Quippy. Just everyone's so quippy.
To the point that they actually run narration at the bottom.
Do they really?
Mm-hmm. During one of the bar scenes. Or at least I watched that was it, the uncut or the director's cut, whatever you have.
Unrated.
They're the unrated.
Unrated.
And they, they've got it subtitled for the, so in case you don't understand the British slang, you can just read it out.
Really?
Read it in English. Proper English, I guess.
I remember that scene in the bar,
You were just talking about the regular subtitles? Or a couple of scenes in the bar?
There's a couple scenes in the bar.
Oh,
I'm old as shit. I always put the subtitles on.
Oh, okay, no. The movie is subtitled. They subtitle it so that you can understand what they're saying with all the cockney gobbledygook. Mm.
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, Guy Ritchie, you guys fans of Guy Ritchie at all?
I like Snatch.
Not too much. No, I'm not at all. I mean, I like Snatch, but other than that,
what else did
you like? Sherlock Holmes?
I like Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
I like the first one. The second one felt like it was getting out there a little bit. I haven't seen Man from U.N.C.L.E. I heard
that's pretty good.
Good things about that.
Yeah. I like The Gentlemen. That one's pretty solid.
I mean, I saw The Gentlemen. That was
It's fine. Entertaining.
I watched it in two things. I was running too, so I was like on the treadmill. So I was hating my life as I was watching it.
So then he would hate it.
There was some crossover there, probably.
Yeah.
He'd watch Back to the Future and not like it. While you're running.
I don't know. I'd probably just stop running and sit on the couch.
Just stand on the treadmill and watch it.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about you? Do you like Guy Ritchie?
He's okay. I mean, he's hit or miss for me. He's like Zack Snyder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where I really like his movies or I don't. I'm not a big fan of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of, I didn't watch Zack Snyder's new part two.
You didn't?
I didn't, no.
I watched 7.5 minutes of that.
And you stopped?
I just turned it off. Yeah, no. I was like, it was one of those things like, okay, I've already watched the first half. I might as well finish it out. And just the dialogue, the acting, it's just as
more
all,
of the same.
Yeah,
so you just
yeah.
It
I was just like, God, I was can't really, yeah, really, yeah. really rooting for you on this one.
Can't do it.
I just can't do it.
Yeah, yeah. He reminds me a lot like Snyder, where I love The Watchmen, love I like 300 a lot. I actually like the extended cut of the Justice League, and that's about it. Mm-hmm. Everything else he's put out, I'm not a big like. What was that movie with all the girls and like
Sucker Punch? I think he's remaking.
Yeah.
That.
Is he really? Why? That movie was boring.
A passing thing. I don't know.
It's only, what, 10 years old and yeah. he's remaking it?
Dawn of the Dead. That was another one that I liked. That
yeah, I like Dawn of the Dead and Watchmen that
yeah.
he did.
Yeah. Yeah. But Guy Ritchie, I would say Lock, Stock. I like Snatch, Sherlock Holmes. Rock and Roll was pretty good. I remember liking that. Revolver's not very good. And I tried to get through Swept Away, which is that movie he made with his then wife, Madonna. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It was so bad. I couldn't finish it.
That is definitely a marriage of Madonna trying to stay relevant.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah.
And I have no idea. I mean, I don't know them, obviously, but that just when like, because I remember hearing about that in the early 2000s. That, oh, yeah, they're married. They're like, he's married to Madonna. And I'm like, and that's when she added like her fake British accent shit
yeah.
and everything. And I'm just like,
well, she lived there for so long. It just rubbed off on her.
Yeah.
Cause that's that how that works. Right.
Yeah. Meanwhile, people who move here just have the accent their entire life.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't know. That was just a very 2000s like opportunistic relationship.
It was,
like. Yeah. Yeah. Other than Snatch, I think. Yeah. And
Aladdin.
Sherlock. Oh.
Did you like that one, Jay?
You got the poster on the wall, Jay. You didn't like Aladdin?
I don't know if I watched that one. But all right, what'd you guys like or dislike about?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't like it as much as I remember liking it just because it seems kind of like. There's nothing stands out about it particularly because that you know, we grew up in that era. Like at all, it's like, oh, this is like Clerks meets Pulp Fiction meets Boondock Saints kind of thing. It's just like kind of it's the same sort of thing. What I do like about it is the fact that I can tell that a lot of the people they cast are not trained actors. And mm-hmm. I think the fact that like Vinnie Jones was like a footballer or whatever, and a lot of the gangsters in the movie were just used to be old gangsters that they just pulled into the movie. It gives it that sort of like authenticity that, it would probably lack if they hired like a trained thespian to recite the lines. Yeah. And the fact that it was made with no money, I like the grainy aspect of the movie. It does feel like somebody just grabbed a camera outside of the back of their car or whatever and just started shooting. But other than that, like the plot where like, it's very Tarantino-esque where, all these random events seem to be happening at once and then it converges into like one mm-hmm. seamless
yeah.
thing
yeah.
where it all makes sense. So it doesn't really stand out anymore. At the time it probably did, but it doesn't like anymore after repeat viewing.
Yeah.
Overall it's fine. It's entertaining.
Yeah.
Camera work in it. I was like, eh.
It's like, fine.
It was fine. I mean, you could tell they didn't have dolly tracks. They probably had to keep the lens pretty closed. Like as far as field of view, you didn't have these wide, I mean, they were probably running and gunning and shooting this on the streets and whatnot. But, I actually enjoyed the plot, watching it now because back then it was like, oh my God, oh, they're all converging into one thing. Like
yeah,
it was,
yeah.
watching it now, I kind of feel like that it still kind of works for me just for the sense that, crime is probably such a small world that everyone does probably know everybody,
know
especially
each other
if you're
in some
dealing
way.
On that kind of level of, oh, the main weed drug dealer, of course, is going to be the person that you accidentally rob or whatever. But as far as the misunderstanding and everything else to where it's not like it is just misunderstanding and coincidence, which is kind of fun. Is it realistic? Probably not. But I kind of enjoyed that aspect of it just because you didn't have the four main guys who knew jack shit about that kind of world happen to come out on top. So it's mm-hmm. not, they didn't win because the criminals were stupid. They survived because of sheer coincidence and luck.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's what I kind of like about it, to where I feel like if that was made today, those four guys would be like, oh, yeah, we got the money and we sold the weed and we're innocent. and it's just like it would be some shitty thing to where like one guy would be on an island and it would be like the end of The Italian Job, the Mark Wahlberg version.
Yeah.
To where everyone's dreams came true and that bullshit.
Right. Yeah.
But I don't know. From that aspect, I kind of liked it.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, the
Jay with this, it's not a happy ending as it should
be. Needs to be a happy ending. The ending I don't mind.
It was happy enough that they all lived.
Yeah.
That's as happy as you really wanted it to be for these people.
Yep. Yeah. And yeah, and then they didn't have to owe $500,000 right. or £500,000.
Yeah.
Didn't notice Sting the first time I saw it.
Didn't notice Sting?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wasn't necessarily a huge Sting fan in college. Yeah. But I was like, is that fucking Sting?
I'm like, is that fucking Sting?
That's what this movie should be called.
The biggest player.
Yeah.
Guy Ritchie's first film, he's got fucking Sting in it.
That's true.
Yeah.
Do you know, I was reading up on this, that Sting's wife was the one who actually helped get this financed.
Oh, wow.
I guess she knew a producer who overlooked the screenplay, and she was like, you might want to like
go back and look it over again
one more time. Will you do that for me? And then I guess Sting read it, and then he's like, yeah, she's right. And then...
There we go. That's probably how he got his part in it. He financed it and was like, yeah, throw me a bit.
Well, they didn't finance it. They just knew people who knew people. So that producer they recommended to another guy who then recommended to another guy. And then it's kind of like the movie, the plot. Like, coincidentally, Guy Ritchie somehow got the financing to make this movie.
Which is probably like, please give us money. You need a big name actor. We got Sting. Like... Need a singer?
They probably build it like
he was in Dune 1984.
Like finance us. Sting. We've got Sting. He wants to do it. And then after they got the money, they're like, beg Sting, please, you got to be in it. We promised these people you would be in it. That's how we got finance. He's like, fuck, I guess I got to do this.
Sure. So, yeah. Why not? You get to be a badass in it. Badass bar owner.
whose son about loses it for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Loses the whole thing.
Which this movie kind of spawned a lot. I mean, Matthew Vaughn produced it.
Yeah.
And he was
spawned
like
a lot of careers.
He was like 25.
It's crazy.
Super young when he produced it.
Yeah.
And then Dexter Fletcher, who plays the chef, the soup, or soap. Soup. Soap.
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 Yeah, soap.
He went on to direct
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Bohemian Rhapsody and Elton Rain on
Rocket
Me.
Man.
Rocket Man.
Yeah.
Fuck Eddie the Eagle.
And
I think one or two other things, but
and launched the career of Jason Statham.
Yep. Not mine.
He has the same amount of hair today.
He does.
Yeah.
He's got soft features though. He's not as grizzled.
Yeah. He's definitely not as jacked.
Yeah.
He doesn't have like the forehead bones of 3% body fat.
Yep. Yeah, he doesn't have the transporter body in this one.
No, definitely not the main character in this.
No.
Like he is in Snatch. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody's a badass in this movie, where they give you a background of how like badass they are,
like the mm-hmm. rundown, like the real rundown. Quick narration rundown.
Yeah, Barry the Baptist. Why is he called that?
Yeah.
Harry the Hatchet. Why is he called that? A marijuana drug kingpin.
Yeah,
this is how crazy he is. He lights people on fire. Go to that story. It's like everybody has a story about how badass they are.
Which that was probably my favorite story, the one where he picks up the fire extinguisher, sets it outside, and then sets the...
Well, I like that before that, you just see this guy in flames run out of the bar while the other characters are walking in. They just kind of look at him, just shrug, and just walk in.
Yeah.
Nothing said about it. They don't mention it at all. And then a few scenes later, it shows how that guy came to be on fire. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, the script is pretty... I mean, it...
It's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny. It keeps, there's no wasted space as far as the writing goes. Like everything makes sense and everything goes back to something else. There's really nothing like left open.
Yeah.
But the overall pacing of the movie, I feel like, is a tad long.
Yeah.
Like,
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's a lot of shots of just people walking and the random slow motion and stuff, which he never gets rid of. but yeah, it's like that sense of cool that he wanted to have done to where I think if they probably could have quickened this up a little bit. Of course, I saw the unrated version. I don't know how many more minutes there are of
It's 2 hours flat, so I don't know what the difference is between that, like you're saying, and
mine was like an hour and 45 ish.
Okay, so like 15 minutes of
more walking.
Probably just a lot more walking.
More walking, a lot of sarcastic zingers in there.
A lot of explanation. Well, the reason I told you to do this is because if you don't do this, then this is going to happen and blah, blah, blah. Right. It's like, all right, dude, just tell us.
There was
just
a lot of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can tell that he wanted to, that's how he talks with his friends. They're all very sarcastic and they all shit on each other. And then, okay, I'm going to do that and I'm going to apply it to everybody. Every character in this movie is going to be like that.
Yeah.
Our friends shitting on each other.
It's like an Aaron Sorkin script. Everyone is the smartest person in the room.
Right. Exactly.
Which, that is never the case.
Right. Same thing with Tarantino. Everyone has a soliloquy and they're very articulate and, you know.
Yeah. I can barely introduce myself without stumbling over my words.
Exactly. Yeah. That's another thing I like about it. It's just, it's funny. The sarcastic. Yeah. I love the scene where they ask the... what's the marijuana kingpin's name? I forget his name.
It's Rory.
Afro Harry.
Jesus.
Jerry.
Jay.
Rory.
Rory.
Jay.
Rory Breaker. Breaker.
Rory. Okay.
Rory Breaker.
So his name's Rory. Well, he's trying to watch the game, and then, you know, Tom, Soap, Jason Statham's character, and Eddie. Like Jason Statham's like, would you mind turning that down? And he's like, no. And he looks at him for a little bit and they all go, ooh. I just like that because that sounds like something that would actually happen. Because they know the like, he's probably, you probably don't want to fuck with him. So what do? You just kind of like, ooh. Okay. You're not going to talk shit because he's like, all right, I'm going to push his buttons too hard or else I'm going to be the guy running out of here all burned fire. Out. Yeah.
Well, I like that scene, though, because it showed that they're not confrontational.
Right.
Like, it's to where, granted, they didn't know that he was the dangerous drug pen of the movie or whatever, but it was enough to where, as soon as someone stood up to them, they're like,
I guess that's they're not the gangsters, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're just kind of got sucked into this world that they have to negotiate around all these people, and that's just kind of what they're doing. Like, okay, I guess we'll just sit back down here at the bar.
Don't you love their plan, though, of getting rich? Like, we're gonna pull our money together to get into this high stakes card game.
with somebody who all they do is play cards.
Yeah, what was their
loan shark?
I don't know. I think they each, if they would have won, I think it was like a 20% ROI, so they'd each make like $5,000 because they put 25 in each.
Perfect.
Stupid.
That is horrible.
It's so dumb.
I'd rather go to Vegas. I don't know. Buy a lottery ticket or stick it in the bank.
Yeah, it's dumb. Yeah, let's go to a high stakes poker game with a notorious mobster.
Yeah,
it's gonna be fine.
What's the problem? Mm-hmm. What could go wrong?
What could go wrong?
Guys, I'm really good at cards.
Yeah. Right. But that's what I do like about it is the fact that everyone is so sarcastic in each of their own like particular crews, but then no one gets like crazy offended because they're talking shit about the other. Like I feel like today if you insulted somebody, then there would have to be like dialogue where like, what'd you say to me? And then there's like a fight or something. But this is like, it's like you're saying
like
hello.
Unbothered. Yeah. Everybody's completely like, unbothered by it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I'll just wait for my turn to say something sarcastic back. Mm-hmm. When the opportunity presents itself.
Yeah, I forget what the line said when the guy went to into the boxing ring or to play the game and Harry the Hatchet is up there. I forget what the kid told him, but because the old man said something snarky and the kid said something back and he was like, you say that again and you're going to wish like what
wish you
like,
had. Yeah, he's gonna wish, say, you, so had, wish you had.
Pretty much said, "Watch your mouth."
Yeah,
but and what he what they both said to each other was so subtle of a thing, but they knew. I mean, yeah, like something like that is good to where when the characters understand when they're being slighted slightly, even if it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah,
but
yeah. Big Chris and Little Chris are in. They go up to Harry's office, and then Barry the Baptist says something like, "You want a lolly?" And then the little kid's like, "Shut up, you tunts," or whatever. And then he's like, he laughs at him, like, "Yeah,
that's what I was expecting.
That's what I'm expecting. Yeah, you've been taught right, that kind of thing."
And then his father was like, "Watch it."
Yeah.
Which that character plays the exact same character in Snatch too, by the way.
Vinny Jones.
Yeah. Pretty. I mean, he's the collector. He's like the muscle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't an actor, and he's like a football player, so that's probably the range he had at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, what's his range now? I'm sure it's still the same, right?
Probably.
I haven't
seen anything.
I don't know.
I looked at his IMDb. He's in a bunch of shit. Yeah.
He was in Gone in 60 Seconds. Didn't say a word until the very end, and I don't know if it's just for that joke or just the fact that, we have Nicolas Cage and Angelina Jolie and Giovanni Ribisi and all these other people that, and Robert Duvall that can act.
Get that tough guy from Snatch in there.
Yeah. His delivery is horrible. Well, just make him be quiet.
Yeah. He was also in X-Men The Last Stand. He played the Juggernaut.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I'm the Juggernaut, bitch.
Back before characters had to actually look like the character they played. Yeah.
I thought about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah. What was that?
I don't know.
Goodness.
God. Enough beans for Chris.
No kidding. Chris is up there just
letting
atomic bombs.
Oppenheimer. Yeah, there was some things in there that felt stupid, like the dildo.
Yeah.
Like the sex. Like he has dildos all over his desk.
Yeah.
That felt like something that he wrote when he was in high school, I feel like, that thought, that'd be funny if he had dildos everywhere.
Trying to put some shock value into the scene or something.
Yeah.
Something and memorable.
Because some of it just felt like, I mean, he was born in 68, Guy Ritchie was, and I think he wrote it in the early 90s, but 68, 98. So he was 30 when this movie came out. So he was probably 28, 29, but it still has that high school feel.
Yeah.
And it's like the whenever someone goes into creative writing class in college, everyone's drinking in the story and everyone's doing this and that or whatever because, I can use cuss words in my story now because I'm not in high school. Yeah. And it felt a little bit like that to where everyone drinking and then just passing out the bar or whatever after celebrating, like just the gratuitous shots of just alcohol everywhere. And I'm like, the only thing that I could think of in that scene after they stole everything and they kept drinking and the camera just kept whip panning to the four of them. The other thing I noticed was like in the background, I was like, there's no extras.
Oh,
I was like, man, this budget was tight.
Yeah.
tight. And I was like, they're in a bar and no one's there. And I was like, that's weird.
Well, maybe his dad shut down the bar.
Maybe it was after hours. Yeah.
Maybe. Congratulations, son.
That a boy.
I got to keep my bar. Get drunk.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, just stuff like that, the dildo stuff, the over drinking, I guess, in it, it felt like, let's put it in here because we can put it in there kind of thing.
Yeah. It did feel like a teenager wrote the movie.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. As far as the instances, plot wise, most teenagers can't write that, but
yeah.
But yeah, as far as the antics or the humor side of things, Coop.
I liked it. I mean, I haven't seen it in probably 10 years. I did like that. It was pretty rough. It kind of added to the grittiness of the storyline. I think, But the characters, like, I didn't really care about any of them. Like, it's like, yeah, this guy is caught in this debt. He could have got his buddies out of it and didn't. And they narrate that fact. And he's like, God, I wish to God I could have taken the debt myself, but he just wouldn't let me. Like, you motherfucker. Like, this makes me like you less.
Yeah.
So he sucks his buddies into it. And now they're all just kind of doing what they can, I guess.
So they don't get killed.
Yeah. So they don't get killed. Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
There's not really anyone. Yeah. I didn't really find myself rooting for.
I was just kind of watching what unfolded. I wasn't like.
Whoever came out on top.
I hope they get out.
Top.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Jay, who are you rooting for? Anybody?
The two putzes that were trying to steal the guns?
Yeah. You get those guns.
I don't know. I felt bad for the weed growers.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
They were just kind of there. They were just selling weed, and now all of a sudden everybody wants to rob them.
Nope.
Yeah.
I did like that scene to where whatever that character's name was, Spanky or Rank or whatever, goes to and the gate's actually locked.
Oh yeah. For the first time.
Like, I feel like that, like, they kind of don't they have a scene similar to that in Snatch when they go to try to rob a jewelry store and they get caught in that little
thing? Oh, yeah. They get locked in it and they can't get out.
Yeah. I wonder how much of Snatch was written before this and they just kind of pieced it or
melded it together.
Now that we have money, because like I wonder if the original scene was like in a more confined area similar to Snatch, but they didn't have the budget for it. Well, I guess it's a gate and
it reminds me of like Reservoir Dogs versus Pulp Fiction, this movie versus Snatch. Like Reservoir Dogs is like a real rough, like you see the same characters. They even use the same names. Some of the same shots in the movie are also used for Pulp Fiction. And so it was kind of like a rough draft.
2.0.
For the next thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's fair. Well, the producers are probably like, yeah, we'll give you money to make another movie, but make sure it's like lock stock.
Similar to that, or else
you're not going to get Brad Pitt in your movie.
Right.
Yeah. Which has been done. Robert Rodriguez did it with El Mariachi and Desperado and Sam Raimi, Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2. Yeah.
Absolutely. Which makes business sense, right? If you're going to...
No.
If you're a producer, you're going to be like, yeah, I'll give you more money, but I want you to make that thing that we liked. The thing that got you in the
thing that got
first
you
place.
Here in the first place, yeah.
Which that thing, that confused me, El Mariachi and Desperado, because...
Isn't it the same character?
It's the same character.
Yeah.
What happens at the end of El Mariachi is what happened to him. So that's why like Antonio Banderas' hand, he can't play the guitar very well, and because he had it blown off at the end of El Mariachi. But the same shit happens. And I'm like, and that confused me when I was like, I don't know, a teenager. I was like, wait a minute. It's like, that's the exact same thing is happening. Like they're doing the same stuff, which it's a remake.
It's just a remake of it. Yeah.
But, and loosely continuing the thing, but
it's kind of like the,
someone without internet when they were a kid watching this.
Yeah.
I had no clue what the fuck was going on.
No.
I was like, this is the worst sequel ever.
Yeah.
Guy can't come up with anything new.
It's kind of like, the new Star Wars trilogy, you know, just, you remake something loosely based off
the other original thing that you did real well.
Guys, remember this?
Yeah.
I'm going to do it again. Watch. See that? You guys like that?
Yeah. But yeah. I mean, it's the same thing as like, I was watching this because I was going to watch Snatch right after it. And I'm like, this is kind of like, when Scorsese made Goodfellas and they're like, you got to make another gangster picture. So then he makes Casino, which is literally Goodfellas and a casino.
In a casino,
it's the exact same thing.
Yeah.
There's really no difference. So even the greats like Scorsese does the same. They do the same thing. But they just make 2.0 of a movie that they originally made.
Yeah.
Is that wrong?
I've never really considered it before us sitting down here and talking about it right now. But yeah, no, it makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously people want to stick with what works.
Yeah.
And they... It's not wrong. It's just, eh.
I read a lot of reviews on this movie calling it like, it's, you know, typical cool guy cinema. This is like old cinema. I'm like, well, you could say that about anything.
Yeah. I mean, it was any a product genre of movie.
Yeah. You could say that about anything. Romantic comedies, mm-hmm. horror movies. It's the same beats.
Yeah. And I think because Tarantino was so influential on everybody coming up to where they wanted to be, they everyone just wanted to make something as cool as Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
And it just dribbled out a bunch of crap from like, I feel like Guy Ritchie kind of started it. As far as the homages, and it went all the way to, when was Smokin' Aces? Was that like
2006?
2006. Lucky Number 11's another one. But like a lot of those movies just is like, God. Meanwhile, Tarantino's already moved past it and he's done
everybody else other is stuff. Trying to catch up.
Yeah. It's just like Halloween's made, right? Mm-hmm. And then Friday the 13th. And then there's all these shit.
Yep.
You know, mass killer movies throughout the 80s. And it's the same pattern that repeats in different genres. And this is one of those, like crime, gangster dramas, cool guy crime capers with snappy dialogue and
mm-hmm.
violence.
Yeah. And you had it back in like the 50s and everything was a Western. You had series of the musicals back in the 70s. You had Scorsese when he was coming out with Taxi Driver. You had a lot of like the dirty New York films. And shit like that. So
he's
action.
So what you're trying to say is Hollywood is not very original.
No, it's just
they take rinse and repeat.
It's cyclical. So yeah.
We're getting on the tail end of comic book movies.
Yeah.
So
I'm actually pretty happy about that.
Yeah, I am too.
I'm wondering what the next thing will be. I have a feeling it's got to be. I don't know. I was going to say, I was like.
Giant monster movies.
Gotta I was going to say long. More upbeat stuff. God, I hope it's not giant monster movies.
They're already on that train.
I don't understand who is watching that. Well, you saw it.
Yeah, 12-year-olds. God damn it. My kids loved
it. The kids are dragging the parents.
My kids loved it. Yeah.
Oh, Big Monkey.
They're like, Dad, can we go watch that again? I'm like, sure. Yeah.
But I was going to say more like upbeat movies because everything like in the mid-2000s until, I mean, I guess probably late 2010s, you had the gritty, like, it's real. Because you had like Batman Begins and The Dark Knight, so everyone was doing that. But Marvel kind of made fun of everything, so really nothing's taken seriously. I don't know what would be. Because usually the type of movie that's popular is the antithesis to whatever's happening in society at the time. And you had, I'm trying to think of an example. During the 50s, you had like a lot of like musicals and like Western stuff like that, kind of going back to the heyday because everyone was kind of like getting out of the war era. You had the 60s where everything was bright and funny and lively. Meanwhile, you had this whole social revolution happening, and then it pendulum switched the other way to darker, grittier films in the 70s. And then you had the Reaganomics and everything was big and like guns and America and all that.
America. Big budget films. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. 90s, I feel like it was kind of
independent. Resurgence. Yeah.
Yeah. But,
and then 2000s, it started getting very corporatized. Studios buying up IP.
All the franchises. Yeah, all the franchises. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it got amped up to 11 in the 2010s where just everybody was consolidating and buying IP from everybody, especially, you know, obviously Disney. But
you had a lot of comedies out in the 2000s because you had the War on Terror going on. And then, so, I mean, that kind of gave birth to like a lot of
resurgence of the R-rated comedy. Yeah. because people thought that the R-rated comedy was dead,
mm-hmm.
ostensibly until
Hangover.
No, I would say 40-Year-Old Virgin came out. That was like 05. Shit.
Yeah, there's
and then
old
Apatow
school.
Had his like
yeah.
his run. Yeah,
his run. He had Knocked Up and Superbad and Seth Rogen. And Seth Rogen came out with a comedy like every fucking year after Superbad, yeah. pretty much. But yeah, he's there's not really any more comedies anymore. I haven't. When's the last good comedy you saw?
No Hard Feelings. And I wouldn't
that
say
pretty,
that.
Yeah,
would,
that was pretty funny.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I wouldn't say that, like that's a. Like, I'm not going to rewatch that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, probably the last.
I mean, maybe a couple scenes.
I get what you're saying. Yeah. Like, at the end when they say goodbye because.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
They learned it was the friends that they had along the way.
That was my takeaway yep. from that movie.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
God, what the fuck were we talking? Now all I'm thinking about is Naked. What's her name?
Naked Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah.
We were talking about what's the next like.
Trend. Comedy. What was the last comedy that we?
Oh, yeah, the last
yeah.
one. I thought you meant like way back what we were talking about.
The last best comedy.
Yeah.
I think The Other Guys was
2010.
Holy shit!
Woo.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
I mean, like a true
true comedy. Yeah, it's the intent of it. It's for
Bridesmaids.
To make you laugh.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That came out after The
yep.
Other Guys.
2011.
But yeah, I mean, even romance comedies, like romantic comedies, you
yeah.
don't get, like Always Be My Maybe and Crazy Rich Asians and...
The Wrong Missy was pretty funny.
I've not seen that.
I haven't seen that one.
David Spade is the... David Spade is the leading man.
Oh, boy.
So.
It's a Happy Madison production?
Oh, of course.
Oh, geez.
Nobody else will hire
yeah,
the guy.
David yeah. Spade is the leading man.
Yeah.
I'd say Always Be My Maybe.
Well, I think a lot of shift has gone, obviously, since streaming has taken off. A lot of money is put into TV now. I mean, we're mm-hmm. going to talk about Fallout next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that you can tell there's so much money and thought and creativity put into that show. Where I'm like, shit, man. I can't think of a movie right now that's had the same sort of, like, I know Oppenheimer had a lot of creativity and mm-hmm. money thrown at it, and it turned out really well, or at least it looks really well. But all that is being thrown at TV shows now.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it is. So and maybe that's why there's such a downtick in quality of just movies, original movies.
Well, that's why I think, did I say this before on an episode? I think
what?
It's going to go the other way, to where I think movies are going to start coming back.
You think so?
Just because... Now that there's 1,500 streaming services,
yeah,
and every one of them has five shows that they want you to watch. Now everyone needs 12 hours for each fucking show that comes out, and
yep.
no one is going to watch. So everything is so diluted.
It's, yeah,
it's, yeah.
Like no one knows what to watch, and I think people will be like, "Oh wait, if we make a movie and market it, it's only one thing and it's only like an hour and a half to 2 hours." And
yeah.
right now they're trying to make movies into TV shows. That's why everything's 3.5 hours. And
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, you can do whatever you want. And
yep.
But I feel like it'll come back.
I think you're right.
Hopefully to where, oh, a tight story in 90 to 120 minutes. That's really, really
yep.
well done. I think since no one has time for 12 hours anymore, maybe audience will gravitate towards
yeah.
that. And
that's something that I'm definitely looking forward to. I want that to happen because I watch so many shows and it's like, you know, you get 10 episodes in, I've spent 10 hours of my life watching this and the end fucking sucks. It's like, well, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Or even worse, I'm into it and then it gets canceled. Or
yeah.
for whatever reason, they don't continue with the season two. So now I'm left on a
yep.
on a forever cliffhanger. Like,
yep.
why didn't we just make this a 2-hour movie, have all the good parts be in that 2 hours instead of it being stretched out across 10?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
they could. And what me and Nicole do normally is if we're going to start a new show, like it's like, okay, how many seasons have already occurred? Because
yep.
I'm not going to start a new show if one, like you're right, because it'll be canceled right away if I like it. Or if it's not good, like I don't want to waste time watching something if I know it sucks.
There are shows that I won't watch even if they have good reviews until I know for sure it's renewed for a second right. season, or if there's already two or three seasons out, because it's like, what am right. I, why am I investing my time into this?
Or if it's got so much hype, like Fallout, mm-hmm. I'm like, all I'm hearing how good this thing is. And then they just renewed a second season. So that's when I was like, okay, I'll invest some time right. to watch it.
Yeah.
Or like House of the Dragon, which like HBO's original TV shows are built off of that IP. So I know that they're not just going to make one. They're going to make multiple because everyone loves Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Or like Grey's Anatomy, to when they tell you, if you're going to watch it, you just got to get through seasons 3 through 12. Once you get to 13, it's awesome.
It's good. Yeah.
But you got to watch it because there's some bits in there. And
yeah. Yeah, I stay away from NCIS, Law and Orders, because there's just too many. Yeah. Nicole watched Criminal Minds.
Mm-hmm.
That has like 18 seasons.
Jesus.
She watched all 18 seasons for like this past year. Like that was like her show when I'm not around. Yeah. She'll watch that.
Yeah.
So I'd walk in, I'm like, what season are you on? She's like, 10. Like, you're crazy. I don't know how you watch this.
I mean, at what point does storylines start to repeat? You know, like I can't watch Law and Order anymore. I'm like, oh, I saw this 10 years ago.
Right.
Different characters, same story. Got it. I'm out.
But I could say, I mean, I rewatched The Office and Seinfeld and Friends, all those comedies.
Those
but
were,
they're like 20
excellent.
Minutes.
Yeah, yeah,
20
exactly.
Minute
right. Yeah, yeah. And
quick.
You know it's going to be good.
The hell's going on over there?
You know it's going to be
and
good.
And you know it's going to be good. Or, you know, it's different when you want to laugh and. Then, like, I want to watch like a rape and murder episode for an hour. I don't want to like cry and be all depressed by the.
One of my favorite lines in Scrubs when Bob Kelso came up and he was like talk like one of the nurses was talking about a TV show. I was like, oh, I'm sorry, I thought we were working in a hospital. Let me guess, you're discussing the new crime procedural. Guess what? I get it. That pedophile did it. We can move on.
Right. Yeah. And I think Forgetting Sarah Marshall did it really well when they're mocking that.
Mm-hmm. That was pretty good comedy.
Who was it? Billy Baldwin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the Baldwins.
Yeah.
It's like the White Wayans brothers.
Yeah.
They're everywhere.
They're everywhere. Yeah. Yeah. Well. Anything else?
That's all I got.
Do you guys recommend Lock,
Ooh.
Stock?
Yeah, I'd say it's worth a watch.
It's an hour and 45. I would recommend it. I mean, you're not going to regret watching it. Like, you're not dedicating, like I said, 21 seasons. It's an hour and 45 minutes. It's on, I think it was on Prime when I watched it. It's free.
Yeah.
I recommend it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Just like, nah, I mean.
Well, I almost want to say watch Snatch instead. It's just a better version of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you like Snatch, then you'll probably like Lock, Stock a little bit.
Yeah.
Or if you like smaller films. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, the storytelling's clever. The characters are decent. And
yeah.
No one is, for as many idiots that are in this movie, none of the characters do stupid things outside of what their character would do.
Right. Yep.
So.
Well said.
Well written, I guess. So
it is well written, yes.
Characters would be doing stupid shit if it wasn't well written. So.
Yep. Yeah.
Like going off to a fucking island and because your nephew had a bad dream or you had a bad dream about your nephew and then you hide out from the force.
I'm
talking about The Last Jedi.
He's talking about The Last Jedi? Always comes back to that.
It just sucks. All right.
Yeah.
Well, join us next time.
Yeah.
You already said it. We're talking about Fallout.
Yeah.
It's on Prime.
It is.
They released all the episodes.
They did, all at once.
Which I wonder if they didn't have faith in it. Because The Boys, they release
once a week
to kind of juice that subscription.
Right.
And so I wonder if they didn't have faith in Fallout because it was a little late to see a trailer. I first saw a production photo. Someone had taken a picture because they had filmed in like someone's city. and they're like, oh, I guess they're making a Fallout show. And it like took a picture of it. It looked like Fallout in the middle of his street. And I was like, wow, that's cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
And then I didn't hear shit for like 9 months. And then they release a trailer and like, oh, next month. Okay.
Huh.
Yeah. They weren't hyping it as much as other things for sure.
That was something that when I would talk to people, you know, talk about what they've been watching and stuff like that, that was the one question that everybody asked me, are all the episodes out? Like, yes, because they don't want to watch. They don't want to wait a week. Who does? Mm-hmm. I want to watch my show.
What I don't understand about Prime is it's not like other streaming services where, I mean, if you get a Prime membership where you get goods delivered to your house, this comes with it. I don't know anybody who's a subscriber to Prime who's just a subscriber to Prime Video and not also like an Amazon Prime member. So the approach is like, oh, we're just going to release it week by week. So I don't want you to unsubscribe from Prime Video, but 90% of people have Prime Video because they're an Amazon Prime member.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No,
so
I know,
why
I
wouldn't you just release it all at once? It doesn't make sense to do it week by week. It's not like it's fucking Peacock or...
The only thing I could think of... Well, of course, I mean, whatever ads that they had on their format,
yeah,
more return... I mean, but you'd still see the same amount of ads, more... I mean, I don't know. I guess more eyeballs over a longer period of time on your platform, but...
Yeah.
I don't fucking know.
I don't know either.
They make rocket ships out of penises. And
they make everything now. Yeah. They're not even in the... They don't even care. They just made a giant, big budget, awesome TV show. They could care less.
It doesn't matter.
It's not their... They could fail. They'd be fine. Their stock won't even go down a quarter of a point.
And this show won't even make them money.
All right.
It's like...
Isn't that crazy? It's nuts. Yeah. Just drowning out all the streaming services. That's their goal.
That is what it
is. That is their
goal.
They're
the last one.
They're like,
last man standing.
Bezos is like, fuck all these people. It's mine.
Got my eye on it.
Yeah.
My other eye's looking at this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just made fun of somebody with a lazy. Oh, well. He's a billionaire. He'll get over it.
His giant clock.
Yeah. He'll be fine. But looking forward to talking about it. I actually like this more than the other apocalyptic show that came out last year, The Last of Us.
The Last of Us, okay. Yeah.
I just like the tone more.
Yeah.
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 Cool.
Well, that'll be next time.
Next time.
Till next time, Coop.
Till next time, Jay.
Till next time, Matt.
Till next time, Jay.
Till next time, Matt.
Till next time, Coop.